This is the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast on July 10, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank. Thanks for downloading and listening. The Hat Podcast, brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller today with the news, including an update on lower U.S. ag exports while imports increase and an upcoming antique power show preview. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin will detail what additional rain we might receive today. And yesterday, the soybean market continued its losing streak. Analysis is on the way from Arlen Suderman on the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader,
Carl Jorn,
and Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana. Talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
An update on the U.S. ag trade deficit and the big antique power show coming to Winnemac next weekend. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. U.S. ag exports continue to slow while ag imports continue to grow. Eric Pfeiffer explains.
The main problem is soybean exports, and especially soybean exports to China.
That's USDA economist James Kaufman, and we'll get to more on that in just a few moments. But first, Kaufman says we now have complete trade numbers for the first 8 months of this fiscal year, October through May. And here's what the numbers say.
Agricultural exports in May were at $13.7 billion, down almost 2% from the previous May. This puts U.S. exports for fiscal year 2024 at $122.4 billion, 5% or $6 billion lower than the same period in fiscal 2023.
Meanwhile, we're importing more ag products, 4% more than by this time a year ago.
Import growth has been spurred by relatively strong U.S. economy and a strong dollar, which makes imports less expensive.
And Kaufman says so far this year, we're running a $15 billion ag trade deficit with the rest of the world, as major bulk commodities are down 18%. In particular, as Kaufman mentioned off the top, soybeans to China.
This year, the U.S. exported 23.4 million metric tons, as opposed to 30.5 million metric tons the previous year. This is a 23% decrease in soybean export volumes to China.
Kaufman says China is still importing soybeans, just not from us. And as you can imagine, those soybeans are coming mostly from Brazil, which has a huge supply and competitive prices. And so, total U.S. soybean exports to the world so far this season are down 19%. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
Well, it's all about keeping a piece of Indiana's farm history and heritage alive. And that's why folks from across the Midwest will be traveling to the Pulaski County Fairgrounds in Winnemac next weekend to share their passion for antique farm equipment at the 47th Annual Antique Power Show presented by Northern Indiana Power from the Past. Tim Shively is from Winnemac, and he'll be there with his antique steam engine.
1915 case 65 horse steam engine. We've had it for 8 or 9 years now, but I grew up on a steam engine that my uncle had when I was a kid.
Tim says that many of the antique tractors and farm equipment that you'll see at the Winnemac Antique Power Show come from collectors who have a very strong family connection to the equipment.
I do have a 36 WC Alice Chalmers that I restored when I was about 15 years old. I bought from the neighbor. My grandfather had one very similar. It's not his, but They tell me that when they put me on the tractor with them, all I did was scream and cry. And about 10 years later, I owned one.
Tim adds that the event brings many farm families together, including his own.
My kids will be here. My daughter helps me run my steam engine, and my son-in-law. We have two young grandsons that are just getting around to where they can be around this stuff. So they're going to be here helping too.
In addition to the antique equipment, the event will feature a horse pull on Saturday night, as well as a flea market, live entertainment, and of course, plenty of delicious food. The 47th Annual Antique Power Show in Winnemac is July 18th through 21st at the Pulaski County Fairgrounds. For more information, visit their website, winnemacpowershow.com. You can also find that link at hoosieragtoday.com. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper. Because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmer stories at fcma.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Farmers and agriculture dealers, now is the time to inspect your combines for holes and wear in your threshing, feeder, and grain tank sections. Instead of costly replacements, try combine wear parts from Eile Fabrications, made with the best steel, such as Hardox or Strengths wear plate. Eile's steel wear part liners are easy to install and built to OEM specs to ensure a snug and seamless fit at a cost less than OEM replacement parts. Visit IHLEFabrications.com and elevate your harvest this season.
The Soil and Water Outcomes Fund is working with growers to implement new conservation practices such as tillage reduction, cover crop implementation, or extended crop rotation. Tyler Rausch is Indiana's field program representative for the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund. He says the program will not only reduce erosion and improve your soil health, but you'll also receive monetary compensation for putting these practices into place.
Last year, our average payment was $33 an acre. Nice thing about that is you receive a free estimate before signing the contract with the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund. We need to be looking to implement a new conservation practice. So the key piece is there's something new on your operation.
In 2023, the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund enrolled over 300,000 acres and provided over $10.5 million in payments to farmers. To learn more about how to enroll in their program, check out theoutcomesfund.com.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Indiana getting its dose of the tropics here today. Actually started yesterday. The remains of Hurricane Beryl. Remember, she was once a Category 5 storm in the tropics. And moving through our area here, doggone close to a tropical depression. It's lifting off to the north and east. I think moisture is going to be winding down over northern Indiana this afternoon early on. Already seeing action done in some parts of southern Indiana here this morning. But it's definitely wet. All in, all done. I think this is going to leave a footprint of anywhere from a half inch on the low end, if you were lucky, all the way up to 2 to 3 inches, depending on where you are at with this system in the north. So heavy rains are moving out. We should put together a mostly dry Thursday here. I won't rule out pop-up afternoon or evening thunderstorm activity over the next few days either. Maybe not so much Thursday, but we can see some stuff Friday and into Saturday over the weekend. It's just muggy. It's just going to be absolutely nasty humid here for a large part of the rest of this week and going into the weekend. Now we get into next week, and we're going to be seeing hit and miss scattered shower and thunderstorm action with high humidity again for Monday and Tuesday. But Tuesday night, Wednesday, frontal boundary seems to want to start to get going and sag southward. It's going to be a slow moving front, but I think behind it, we do have potential for maybe Thursday, Friday to be a little less humid and a little bit cooler too overall. So it's something that I'm watching to see whether that front really can hold together and give us those kind of conditions, but it's in the cards late in the 10-day forecast window. Nearby, it's all about that tropical feel, not just with this heavy rain here trying to end today, but the pop-up thick, muggy air that's going to be here the rest of the week with that convection from time to time. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Keep the umbrella handy and wear that moisture-wicking shirt. That's probably a good idea over the next few days. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Liquidation again in soybeans, just barely to the high side at the close for corn and wheat. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Farm Market Review. Settlements coming up. We begin with market analysis. I grabbed it at the end of trade from Arlen Suderman of Stone X. Arlen, an attempt at a turnaround Tuesday for the corn and wheat markets, working mostly higher throughout the session, although coming off of those highs by the end of trade. But the liquidation continues in soybeans, so let's start there as we look at very weak soy meal and oil. And that would certainly apply pressure to the bean market.
Yeah, it certainly would. And I think the key there is that tempted bounce that you said. And then soybean just simply couldn't participate at all. And it was rather meager for corn and wheat. When you look at soybeans, I think they would have tried to bounce had it not been for some of the problems in the soy oil market. The soy oil market had rallied sharply, largely on massive fund of short covering due to reports of a possible trade war between China and Indonesia in recent days, and belief that that might lead to increased demand for soy oil. But that doesn't feed the bull on a daily basis like soy oil needed. And soy oil had frankly gone too far too fast. And so that just collapsed today. And so the timing is very poor for soybeans to see that collapse in oil on a day that meal prices were weak as well. And beans just couldn't hold up. And once they broke lower, then the momentum trading algos just piled on sell orders as well. And we got the double-digit losses. So another ugly day for soybeans and a whole soybean complex today.
In the Monday update, USDA gave a 1% increase in the crop ratings to both corn and soybeans. So that's a positive, not on the market, but it's a positive for the crop itself. Given that and the weather conditions and forecasts, is it a surprise that corn turned around but really couldn't sustain it?
It's not a surprise that it couldn't sustain it. And finishing the day near session lows is definitely not a positive at all for the market. When we look at what the fund managers are looking at, they're looking at those crop ratings and they're plugging those crop ratings into their yield models. And when the crop ratings are above the long-term averages for the national crop, mind you, I know there are problems in the northwestern Midwest where they had flooding. But when you put it all together, and some of those states that had flooding are still have above average ratings and national ratings are above average, that says that yield can still be trend or higher. And with the higher stocks numbers in June 28th stocks report and higher acreage in the June 28th acreage report, the expectation is that USDA will print a new crop ending stocks number above 2.2 billion bushels on Friday. And that means we've got to get rid of 700 million bushels before this market cares, either through a weather problem or for increased demand or some combination of the two.
When you put everything together, all that you've talked about and the prices that we're looking at now below $4 on corn, just above it on the Dease contract, and $11 or so on soybeans below that mark for November, it's not a real pretty picture. Is that what the future holds here in the near term?
Most likely so, because oftentimes we get past the 4th of July and you're trading immediately after the 4th tends to set the tone going forward for the weeks that follow, unless there's a reversal in the weather. And right now the weather's looking favorable, particularly with the remnants of hurricane, now tropical storm, now tropical depression, Beryl, moving a lot of moisture up into previously dry areas of the Midwest. And so there's not a lot to rally around other than end users coming in. But those end users also know from that quarterly stocks report that the farmer still is plugged up with a lot of corn on the farm that needs to move ahead of this year's harvest, and the end user is going to be patient and not get too worried on these rallies.
Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX and StoneX.com. Settlements now, September corn gains 0.75 cents, going to 3.94 on Tuesday. Deese also up 0.75 cents, 4.08 1/2. August beans down 17 3/4, 11.31 1/4. Novi settles at 10.80, losing 19 1/2 cents. September wheat up, but only 1.5 cents, and finishing at 5.72. The meat's down. August live cattle, 182.35, $2 lower. And August lean hogs, 88.40, down $1.12. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.